2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the reading of God's Word. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for eternal life in him. Oh Father, as we hear your word, we pray that you will cause our faith to grow, that our love for you will grow, and all of us will grow to the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Pour out the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may know you better and better. Let us live for you. Let us live our lives in terms of bringing glory and honor to you. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and that your word will proclaim Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue our study of 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 5. And Paul has told us that as Christians, we have as our ambition, whether we live or die, to be pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. The world might say even that we are crazy. But even if we are crazy, it is for our God. And the question is, what makes us this way? What made Paul to live like this? And Paul gives us that answer. Verse 14a, for the love of Christ controls us. The love that our Lord Jesus Christ has for us, that love, not our love for him, but his love for us, that love controls us. That love compels us. His love makes us to live for him. And this love of Christ, how does the Bible describe this love? You know, when somebody asks you, how does your mom love you? And you will describe that love in terms of, you know, probably what she does for you. How does the Bible then describe the love of Christ for us? Verse 14b, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And in verse 15, we read that our Lord Jesus Christ is what? Who died and rose again on their behalf. His death and resurrection. The love of Christ for us is not described in terms of what the worldly things that he blessed us with. Of course, that also shows that he loves us, of course. But the Bible describes his love for us in terms of his death on the cross for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Or NIV, atoning sacrifice for our sins. And this is what we read in the Bible. How does the love of Christ described in his death on the cross for us, for our sins? If we do not realize his love for us in his cross, then we will never know truly his love for us. We will know his love for us when we realize who is dying on that cross for us. When we realize for whom he is dying on the cross. What is he doing dying on the cross? Let us go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read it from verse 7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. Yes, in the world there will be some who will be willing to die for some good man. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand what he's saying? Yes, even in the world, somebody might be willing to die for others, dying for good men, but no one in this world will be willing to die for a bad person. Who would do that? But God demonstrates his love, his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Not when we were good, not when we're obeying him, but when we're bad. While we were sinners, he died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. While we were sinners, while we were yet his enemies, he died for us. God makes us know and realize and believe his love for us through Jesus' death on the cross for us. So you must go to the cross, because unless you realize his love for you in that cross, you will never know truly his love for you. You must understand what that cross is all about. This is God's way, God's method to letting you know what his love for you is. And my question to you and to me is this: when was the last time that you were deeply moved by his love for you? You know, there were, in the beginning of our Christian life, you know, I remember even singing about his cross, just reading about his cross, thinking about his cross, you're so deeply moved. Just you cry and cry. That love controls us. And when was last time you were deeply moved by his love? Maybe you got so used to it, used to hearing, oh yeah, he died for us, without really understanding what that really means. What really happened? Who is dying and for whom is he dying? Bible says that love
controls us.
So you must know that love. There is no other way. That love dominates our lives. That love controls us more powerfully than our own determination and our own willpower. That love is much more stronger than what we could determine to do or even our willpower. And this is what the truth says. Maybe the problem that you and I have is that we still don't know this love. Because this love, Bible says, will control us, will dominate us, will compel us. Death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, they make the enemies of God into God's friends, God's sons. That is the love of Christ for us. That is the gospel. And that gospel powerfully dominates our lives. This is what is making Paul to live like this. And this is the only thing that will make you live like that. That's why pastor's job is to preach this love. Continue to proclaim God's love for you. But how can I do that? Well, it's through the cross, his death on the cross. And I pray that God will move your hearts. That once again, at the hearing of his cross, his death, that our hearts will move deeply, powerfully. That one died for all, therefore, all died. This is very important phrase here. One died for all, therefore all died. Jesus Christ died for us. He died for our sins. He died because of our sins. He died instead of us. He died the death that we have to die. The wage or the penalty of sin is death, both physical and spiritual or eternal death. Jesus died not only physical death, but also the eternal death. If he only died the physical death, then our sins are not fully paid for. He died the eternal death. He was forsaken by the Father on the cross, and that is the eternal death of hell. Hell is God forsaking sinners forever and ever, and that death, Jesus died on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even though Jesus was on the cross for a few hours, because he is the eternal God, even if he died a 1 second, he died eternally. He is not bound by time. One died for all, therefore all died. Here we see the concept of representation. So he died, but we could also say he died as our representative. He died in my place. He died representing me. He died for me and he died instead of me, but also he died in my place. And because all of this is true, I died with him. We all died with him. So he died. All died. This is what the Bible teaches. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Same concept. For as through the one man's disobedience, the first Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So, one sinned, all sinned. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so, through the obedience of the one, the many were made righteous. So, one sinned, and everyone who is united to him, all sin. And one who obeys perfectly, and everyone who united to him obeys perfectly. Do you see the concept of representation? That is why anyone who says, first Adam sinned, you know, he ate that, not an apple, but he ate the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. If anyone says, well, Adam ate that, what's that got to do with me? I didn't do it. So why are you blaming me? It's Adam who ate it. I didn't do it. Well, we say to that person, okay, if that's how you want to do it, then whatever Jesus has done, what's that got to do with you? By same argument, if first Adam, whatever he did, has nothing to do with me, then second Adam, whatever Jesus has done, has nothing to do with me then. Then you eternally die. If you do not accept this representation that God has decreed, then there is no salvation for you. Yeah, the first Adam, whatever he did, that has nothing to do with me, but whatever second Adam did, that's everything to do with me. You cannot have it like that. You gotta be consistent. And this is clearly what the Bible teaches. One died, all died. But in Jesus' case, one died, all died, but one also resurrected, so all that died in Christ, they all resurrect also. But the first Adam, one died, everyone died in him. And unless Jesus Christ dies for Adam, Adam cannot resurrect to eternal life. There is only death. Do you see it then? Jesus' death is our death. Jesus' life, the perfect life, is our perfect life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 28, Paul says, I, Paul, have been crucified with Christ. No, he did not. And yet, it's true, he did. Because Jesus was representing him. Paul was united to Jesus when Jesus died on that cross. So I have been crucified with Christ. I died with him. His death is my death. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He is dying on our behalf. Chapter 5, verse 21. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see this then? Our sins are imputed to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he dies bearing our sins. And Jesus' righteousness then is imputed to us. Jesus represents us. Thus, we too die when he died, and we too resurrect when he was resurrected. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, yes, we did, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Why? For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died with Christ. Now, then, we need to really understand this, brothers and sisters. It's very clear, Bible is very clear, that when Jesus died, all who are in him died. The next question is then we're died to what? Well, Bible teaches us. We are dead to what? Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But may it never be that I will boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the cross of Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world has been dead to me and I am dead to the world. So, one thing that we are dead to this world. When Jesus died, I died, but I died to the world. But Bible teaches more things that we died to. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. For the death that he died, Jesus' death, he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I died to sin. When Jesus died on the cross, I died, but I died to the world, and I died to sin. But I am alive to God. This is what happened. This is what has already happened to you. And this is what Paul is trying to tell us. We are dead to this world and we are dead to sin. We are dead to these things through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So understand what that means. You say, I died with Christ. Well, understand what you are saying. You died to sin. You died to this world. That's what you're claiming. Well, then, if you died to this world, what does that mean? Well, the world and you guys don't have any relationship. If you die to sin, same thing happens. So your life should be free of sin and free of this world. And that is exactly what will happen when you go to heaven. There will be no this world in heaven. There will be no sin in heaven. This is what eternal life is all about. This is what Jesus accomplishes as he dies on the cross and resurrected from the dead. So that you may be dead to this world and dead to sin. Do you understand? And what the Bible is teaching is that that life has already begun. So that your life, in your life, you need to fight with sin because you understand you are dead to those sins. And you do not follow the patterns of this world because you understand, you believe that you are dead to the world. Because that is what our Lord has accomplished already for us. That is our heavenly reality. Not visible yet. Thus, you must believe. But this is who you are. This is what has happened to you. And Paul argues this same point over and over and over again. You will see it again. Next verse. Verse 16, verse 17, it continues. But Jesus also, according to verse 15b, died, but also rose again on our behalf. Romans 6, verse 5, for if we have been become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. If Jesus' death is our death, then his resurrection is also our resurrection. Now, we try to understand when he died, we all died, and try to understand what that meant. But now you need to also understand when he rose again, you also rose. You also resurrected from the dead. Now, what does that mean? You need to understand that also. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thus now in Christ we live that life, his life, the resurrected life, the heavenly life. You have been rose again. You have been resurrected to eternal life. The life that belongs to heaven. This is what you mean by I die with Christ and I am resurrected with Christ. You got to understand what you're saying. You died to sin. You died to this world. And you are alive to God. You have been resurrected to an eternal life of heaven. Yes, we live the heavenly life even though we live here on earth. Thus, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, which we will look at next week. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, no one according to this world. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And this verse, verse 17, is not about individual dying and resurrecting. It's talking about cosmic new creation. Everything about this world is passed away and the new world has begun. Behold, the new has come. And we're going to look at this more detail in next week, but you have to understand the world has already passed away for you. And the new world has given to you. This is what is true of you. And you are died to this old world, and now you have life in this new world. And you must live your life accordingly if you claim to live by faith, live by what you believe. Now, no one will do this perfectly, of course, but we need to try. And we need to encourage one another. We need to help one another to do this. Because this is what is true of us already in Christ. And God's word has to convince you that that is true. And if you don't believe, then we have no hope. But if you believe, you will live by faith. Here, we need to say something about this. And, you know, I don't want to spend too much time, and I already speak to you these things during, you know, membership class and all that. But the word here, all, A-L-L. One died, all died. Does that mean Jesus died for every individual in human history? Is that what this verse is saying? No. This word all must be understood in the context of the whole Bible. Actually, any verse in the Bible must be understood in terms of the whole Bible. And you already know. Some people go to hell. Which means Jesus did not die for all individual in human history. I mean, unless you don't have brain, this is so easy to get. If Jesus died for everybody, then everybody will be saved. Because Jesus' death is effective. He doesn't just die for you and somehow it's not effective at all. You still go to hell. That just doesn't happen. That's why in Romans 5, the word all was used, but also the word many were used. By one, many died. By one, many were righteous, made righteous. Now, this word all must be understood in the same way we understand the word the world. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 18. We know that no one who is born of God sins. Well, the sense there is, we know that no one who is born of God continues to sin. That's the sense. I mean, if you say, if you're born again and you cannot, you don't sin, then we, no one here is born again. But see, we do not continue to sin. And there will be one time, one instance where we will stop sinning completely when we go to heaven. But he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now, clearly here, if you're born of God, if you're born again, that Satan cannot touch you. I mean, he could come and tempt you. He could do all these things, but ultimately, he cannot really touch you. Your salvation is eternally secure. So here clearly says that Satan cannot touch you. But look at the next verse. We know that we are of God, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, when you read that verse 19 all by itself, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. You might understand that every individual in the whole universe is in the power of Satan. But you already read previous verse that says Christians are not in the power of evil one. But it says the whole world is. So how are you going to understand the world? You're not going to understand just because it says the whole world, that every individual in the whole universe is included. You just don't do that. You got to look at the context. Previous verse clearly says not every individual is in the power of Satan. But next verse says the whole world is in the power of Satan. Use your brain. You have to look at the whole context. So look at the whole context. Look at the whole Bible. Jesus did not die for every individual. He died for his people. He died for those that the Father has chosen in the beginning of the universe. I should say before the foundation of the universe. Since we're talking about the word the world, let's just say a little bit about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. God so loved the world. There, they say, it's so clear that he loved the whole world, every individual in the universe, in history. But again, context. This verse, 3:16, comes out in John 3 in the context of the conversation between Jesus Christ and Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus and Jesus is talking. And in that conversation, this verse comes out. Now, Nicodemus, who is he? He's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. He's the leader of Jewish community. He understood the Old Testament just the way that the worldly Jews understand. And he too, just like any Jew at the time, waiting for the Messiah, but his understanding of Messiah was the earthly Messiah, just like so many of these earthly Jews. And if you are a Jew at that time, this kind of saying by Jesus, it's so amazing to you. Because throughout the Old Testament, only the Israelites were chosen. Only the Israelites were the people of God. So for a Jew to hear Jesus says, God so loved the world, contrasted to Jews, it's indeed amazing. It's not just Jews, but God so loved the world, the Gentiles. That is the context. God so loved the world. And Nicodemus goes, what? How could this happen? What are you talking about? God does not love the whole world. No, God loves Jews. That's the context. So it has nothing to do with, you know, God loving every individual. That's why he used the word world. No, he did not do that. And verse 17, John 3:16. But they have to look at verse 17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And now if you understand world to include everyone in the whole universe, then you have to bring that to verse 17. Oh, God sent his Son so that the whole world might be saved through him. No, not whole world will not be saved. Some people will go to hell. Then verse 17 is false. If you understand the word world as including every individual, then verse 17 is completely false. Jesus was not sent so that every individual in the world will be saved. That is a false statement. You cannot take it like that. Anyway, I don't want, you know, I get so excited about this kind of stuff. And in our text, in our verse, it says, he died for all so that they who live, if all includes everyone in the world, then everyone in the world will live, will be saved. But we know that that is not true. Verse 15, and he died for all. He died for everyone, all who are in him, all whom he represents. But his dying for them has a purpose. So that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Did you hear that? That Jesus died for you so that, what? That you will not live for yourselves any longer, but that you will live for Jesus Christ who died for you and rose again for you. And you need to understand, why did Jesus do all this? What was the purpose? Well, you could say that purpose in so many ways, but we will stick to our passage. Jesus dying for you has a purpose. Uh-huh. And it's not just that you don't go to hell. I mean, that too. We have died to sin. We have died to this world. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Do you understand? He died. All died. Which means you no longer live. It's Christ who lives in you. Meaning that you live the very life of Christ. That is your spiritual reality that Christ has accomplished for you. Christ lives in me, and now I live by faith in him. I live the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. I live for him. My old self is dead. The I that used to live for me is dead. Now I have been resurrected as a new creation so that I might live for Christ. T-
This is Paul's arguing. So that I might live according to God's will. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. He died so that you may live according to God's will now. Now our purpose in living is no longer ourselves. Bible is very clear on this. But it is for our Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose again for us. Mark chapter 8 verse 34, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must treat himself as if he's dead. Deny yourself. Because you are dead. Your old self is dead. And it's not just, you know, repeating to yourself enough times and you kind of imagine that it's true. No, it is true. You must believe. See, it's not God says something and you just have to repeat to yourself, yeah. And somehow you might believe, you might deceive yourself as if it's true because you heard it so many times. Brainwashing. No. It is true. And it is you who need to believe. You need faith. And faith comes from hearing of the word. Ah, the same thing as brainwashing. Well, how else were we going to say? But believe me, if it is brainwashing, then those of you who were with me for many, many years, I don't think so. I think if it is brainwashing, I think it will be easier. But 20 years, 30 years, 40 years of this brainwashing, you still live for the world. You still lack faith. So God's brainwashing is so ineffective. No, it is not brainwashing. Because if it is, then actually some people, some Christians will completely forsake the world. They're completely brainwashed. It will never happen. You will sin until you die. So don't ever say it's brainwashing. Because if it is, it will be much easier. No. You're going to hold on to this world until you die. You know, that's the symbolism. When you die, you kind of open your hands. Finally, you let go. But brothers and sisters, let's let go of it more. Even though 100% perfect letting go will not be possible until we die, well, let's let go a little bit more. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We now live for Jesus Christ. In Romans 14, verse 7 through 9. Romans 14, verse 7 through 9. This, I think you should write it on your wall or something. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, for this purpose, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Did you hear that? Now you and I know that this is not easy. Nobody said Christian life is easy. Actually, it's impossible unless God pour out his grace. This is not easy. Thus, listen carefully to what Paul says. Yes, this is not easy. Then how can we do this? For the love of Christ controls us. We must know this love. We must live our lives deeply moved by this love. This love dominates us. We must repent and go back to the gospel to know this love. We must know who we are and what we are and for what we now live. And this love will control you. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. What is living for him? How can we live for him? What does that mean? It is to love him with the same love that he loved us with. We live for him. We die for him. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. This is what our life is all about. This is what Christianity is all about. Believing that we die to this world and die to sin, now we live to please God. We live for him. Let us show to the whole world what our religion is all about. Let's do our best, always understanding love of Christ will compel us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, your love do control us. Oh, Father, we pray that by your grace we will know your love more and more, better and better. And that love will compel us to live for you, to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us, bless your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.